Hello, everybody. Welcome to Code Pen Radio. I believe this is number 418 now. We had a little, we brought it back, you know, dusted off the old podcast and then took a little break as we have been gearing up for our public beta release. You know, there's various releases that will get us to Code Pen 2.0. Yay, confetti.
Woo.
That day's not today, but it's very soon. And so we're back. And this podcast is going to be talking a heck of a lot about the how and why and all the awesome stuff you can do with the new editor. It's not all just like, I don't know, the idea of this podcast forever has been behind the scenes, you know, see a little bit more about why we're doing things from a technical perspective and business perspective and all this stuff, different from kind of the marketing we'll do for the release. That's, you know, just more focused on like, look, you can do cool things, which you sure can. But this week we're going to talk specifically about CodeMirror and CodeMirror 6. 6 is the important part of that. Our existing editor is in CodeMirror 5, and we'll talk about that as well. But I have Mr. Stephen Shaw on the show with me. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, everybody.
Kind of the CodeMirror 6 guy around here. You know, not, we've all touched it a little bit, but Stephen put an awful lot of work into it, starting probably years ago.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, it was probably like 2020 that we started the CodeMirror exploration.
Yeah, perhaps. It looks like it was marked as a stable release in 2022, CodeMirror 6, as an upgrade from CodeMirror 5. But it may have been 2020 when it was being first poked at. Margin Haverbeck, perhaps. Maybe I'm saying that wrong. Sorry. Margin has been very useful to this. He's the CodeMirror guy behind it all. Decided to go with this, and it is, I would say, an extremely major rewrite of CodeMirror 5, and probably because the JavaScript ecosystem changed and updated and stuff, and so a big part of it was kind of like, I should rewrite this for ESM. You know, we've seen that in libraries. In fact, whatever, then the latest jQuery came out, and they're like, we've switched to that too. It's just kind of a major JavaScript ecosystem change, and he wanted to change to that. And he certainly did that, and much more. And so when we're looking at CodePen 2.0 editor, we're like, well, obviously we need to be on the new thing, or we need to like evaluate the whole ecosystem of editors, because certainly in the last, you know, several many years, so many online code editors are just like VS Code forks in a way. Some of them run the entirety of VS Code, and a lot of them run what's called Monaco, which is the code editor that lives within VS Code. But, you know, now there's like Cursor and Anti-Gravity and Windsurf and all these different, those are desktop apps that are literally VS Code forks, but VS Code is built with web technology, and we could use Monaco too. Certainly a lot of editors in our space have done that. And we looked at that thinking like, I don't know, a lot of developers are comfortable with that editor. Maybe we should go there too. And it was you who looked into that, right?
Yeah. At the time, you know, all of us were pretty much exclusively developing on VS Code. And so, of course, we wanted a similar kind of experience with the new editor. So using the like built-in actual text editor part of VS Code made sense. So we gave Monaco a try. And in the exploration, I actually integrated that into the old editor to just like give us the ability to try it out and really see how everything functioned. And overall, I mean, it's got the functionality you want. It's a really good editor,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was, I think we had a feature flag that we could enable, to switch over the editor to using that. And, you know, it was good. But there were kind of some major issues with it that kind of kept us, from using that. One of the main ones being documentation. Very poorly documented, at least at the time. You know, this was probably around 2022 that we were trying it out. And it didn't have much to go off of.
But yeah, it's hard to figure out.
Right. Yeah. You could get it integrated relatively easily, but anytime you needed like any kind of tweaks or anything like that, you just were kind of on your own, or digging through Stack Overflow or something.
Yeah. That was cool to see it working. And then I think perhaps the biggest one, which is, I think that's probably still true today. I can't be totally fair. Maybe they had some major documentation release, but it seems unlikely. But the bigger one was just the size of it. And CodePen is, I don't know if people like think of, oh, CodePen, they're the fast ones, but they do actually, you know, we hear of like the simplicity and how it just loads up and you just do what you want to do. And we want to hold on to that. I'm proud of that. I think we should hold on to that. And Monaco is just enormous from just like a,
that's the reason we strayed away from doing like the whole VS Code fork in the browser thing too, mm-hmm. is like that. That's just so much weight, but even trimming it down to just using Monaco, was still multiple megabytes, especially once you started loading languages and all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. And caching can mitigate some of that, but it's still just a lot for the browser to load and process. And one of the bigger issues on top of that was they just don't support mobile at all. So like trying to edit the text in mobile or even select text in mobile was just not even a thing.
Right. And then we did this all the same kind of thing with CodeMirror 6, and we're like, oh look, it's much smaller, it's also modernized, it has the mobile support, and probably the most crucial reason we're doing this at all is that it has the accessibility support. And they say that, and that was a big deal to try it, but since then we've had multiple screen reader users specifically who are bummed out about CodeMirror 5, essentially, who kind of force it to work sometimes, but it is really quite bad for accessibility. CodeMirror 6 basically fixes all of it. And we've had firsthand reports that it's just, that's what it should be like. And that's very encouraging to me. So I guess this should be sort of an apology to, we never did get around to putting it in the classic editor. Maybe we should have, we probably experimented with it, but kind of internally from a business perspective, this thing has taken us so long that the kind of, you know, the vibe is we really need to work on the future, not the past, you know? So that was the decision at the time. It's like, let's just get this thing in the new editor, which, you know, of course, always feels like it's right around the corner and then takes us forever. But anyway, CodeMirror 6 is in the new editor and is working great, and we're pleased with that choice. So let's get into even more details. Like, I don't know. We've done it. It's in there. I even remember we made a repo that I don't even know if it's public. Maybe it even is, but I think it is actually, because mm-hmm. we would send it to Margin to be like, hey, you know, like we need this, and this in order for this to be viable for CodeMirror, for CodePen. Not that that's his problem really, but at least it's like clear documentation of the needs. And a lot of it was like languages, even as simple as like, oh, hey, we support like Pug or whatever, can that work, or Nunjux, or all these languages. We can't just like have white text in the area. We need some kind of support for these things. So that was in there, like let's instantiate CodeMirror 6 editors with all the like stuff we need, like changing indentation levels and so we made that, and we ended up checking them all off the list.
Right. CodeMirror 6 was a completely different beast than CodeMirror 5. So we had to figure out kind of everything from scratch, you know, just anything from the tab indentation to line numbers to undo and redo history and find and replace. Like all of that is a completely different setup. So we kind of built out this repo. I found it, our CodeMirror 6 needs repo.
Yeah.
Where we could kind of use the existing editor settings that we had and pass them to CodeMirror to activate different things and try them out and see how that works.
Yeah. Tell me about the fundamentals here, because it is wildly different, right? When you instantiate CodeMirror 6, you know, in 5, it used to just be like, oh, here's a text area. I don't know. Call like to CodeMirror on it or something, and it would just like fancify it up and away you go. And that's just absolutely not how this works. It's just super different.
Right. CodeMirror 5, much more traditional like plugin or library that you would expect to work in the browser. And you know, everything's kind of a part of that like instance. And so you can, you know, pull out the value and you can change options and settings like on the fly really easily. Whereas CodeMirror 6 is a lot more imperative or like immutable. Like you can't, mm-hmm. You have to like execute actions to like change the state. And then the state is a completely new state each time an action happens. So it's just a very different mental model. And so there's like nothing on the actual CodeMirror instance that you can change. Like even getting the value out and all that can be a task, but it has facets, and those are like ways to store information on the state, like variables, but there can be multiple facets of like the same name, and like the way that it computes which one wins is a whole thing. There's state fields that are kind of like more dynamic facets, and then basically everything about the editor is an extension. So like the very core libraries of CodeMirror, it's got like the view, the state, and then a set of commands that like manipulate the state. If you want just even like basic keyboard shortcuts, like that's an extension. If you want undo and redo history, like that's an extension. Find and replace, like languages, all of these things are extensions that have to be loaded in. And even loading them in dynamically is a bit of a chore.
Which we need to do, because you might be like, oh, I want line numbers. And then I want to switch a toggle that says I don't want line numbers. Just something we want to offer because it's an online code editor that should be customizable to your needs. That's like a whole thing, right? You have to make sure the state's all maintained and reload a set of extensions that don't include the line numbers one.
Right. Or switching the language of a file from HTML to Markdown or SAS to CSS. So like all of those things are relatively complicated until you get more familiar with like how CodeMirror works. And so I set up a whole system of extensions that basically allows us to dynamically enable those kinds of things. And it's a lot of architecture to just get some of the basics that you would expect from a editor. But it does make it super flexible. And that this is part of why the file size of CodeMirror 6 overall is able to be lower, because you can more dynamically pick and choose what you want and even load things conditionally to help keep things down, especially like language packs and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. All right. So we did it. It was a super steep learning curve, but we have it in there now, and it's got the accessibility. It's got the small file size, and the whole thing is, you know, in the end, is kind of like a yay. We're doing this podcast kind of much later, or than that success was declared. You know, like we've now been living this for quite a while, right? So it's not like,
it's been relatively stable.
Yeah. DX is kind of feeling pretty good on it, I guess. You know, look, I don't know. It just feels like a little bit of feels a little nicer and nimbler and things. You know, for example, I had a support ticket yesterday, maybe, that I responded to him. In the old editor, you just do Command F to find something, right? And it just says search, and it has an input, and then you type something into the search. That's it. That's all we've ever had for like over 10 years on CodePen. And it worked kind of fine, but it had all this like secret functionality that you would never know. I just happened to know that if you search for like, I don't know, div or something, and then hit Command Shift G instead of F, it will find the next div in that file. How would anybody else know that? It's probably documented somewhere in our UI, but like pretty hidden kind of stuff. The find thing that pops up now is just much nicer. And even the one that kind of comes built in is like decently nice. And then of course, just because we're CodePen and are insane in this way, we'll spend a whole week on that dang thing if we have to. And I think Steven rewrote like a whole thing that has like better icons and better, you tab through it in a more logical order and all this kind of stuff. So now if you need to find next, well, there's a little down arrow with a nice accessible label on it that explains exactly how to get to that next div search that you have. And it has, you know, regex find and replace that you can do. Oh, and find and replace is just built into it instead of being a separate command. And, you know, like just that is like such a quality of life upgrade from what we had before that it makes me excited. Because sometimes I forget about stuff like that in our new editor that I'm like, there's so many details that are just so much better. It's almost hard to explain them all quickly to somebody. Like, I think you're just going to have to live it for a while and just see how much nicer it really is.
Right. When you go back and forth, it's pretty apparent, the improvements.
Yeah. That in the needs, you know, that we had, one of them was this thing called Emmet, which I think is still pretty popular, despite it not being like zeitgeistedly talked about a lot. But I think a lot of people are just really used to it. I remember when VS Code came out, it just was just in there. I remember even feeling weird about it because I think they touted that they had it, but they didn't really like link to or call out the creator in any way, which is this guy named Sergi. We needed it. Like, I wasn't comfortable with switching to this new editor and then having to make too many consolations that, like, oh, we just don't have that anymore. And, you know, I would do videos. We documented. I'm kind of a fan of Emmet. It did this classic thing in HTML where you literally type, like, div div and then hit the tab key, and it turned into angle bracket div and a closing angle bracket div, and it put your cursor in the middle of it. Or I could type div.card, and it would make a div of class card. And, you know, it just had all these shortcuts. If you've already used Emmet, you already know all this stuff because it just makes you so much faster at writing HTML. But that was long built into CodePen, and there was no CodeMirror 6 extension for it. And I was nervous about that because it was like, oh, man, if we can't have this, like, what do you do? Do you have to go back to Monaco? Do you just say, I don't know, CodeMirror 6 isn't ready for us yet. It doesn't have these core things. But fortunately, Sergi's a pretty responsive guy. We got to kind of employ him, not full time. I think at least tried to throw him some money to get it working. And he did, which is really lovely. And he made it even better, I think. It has like a preview of what you're about to do. So here's a cool thing in HTML you can do is go like li, like a list item, times 10 or something. And ours will show a little preview of all 10 of those things to kind of remind you that you're doing the right thing. Because you can do pretty advanced completions in HTML, and now it shows them. So he did a good job with that. And it was like a wipe your brow few moment that Emmet continues to work and actually work a little better in CodeMirror 6. Challenges.
Yeah.
We are in React too, which I think, you know, we're in like a Next.js environment in the new editor and more so. I don't know how cool Next.js is with not ESM. I'm not sure if we can rock some require statements in a file. I don't even know if we ever do that. So in a way, CodeMirror 6 was also kind of like, it just jives with modern JavaScript. We like kind of have to do this for that reason alone. But Next.js had some other challenges as well. And for some reason and by some miracle, CodeMirror 6 supports this web component concept of the shadow DOM and like in web components generally, like a custom element. So our integration of CodeMirror 6 is actually like a custom element. I forget what we call it, but mm-hmm. It's probably just like CodeMirror-element or something, or code. Yeah, who knows what we call it? I don't even remember.
CodeMirror-editor or whatever, since it has to be dashed. Something like that.
But it kind of had to do with styling, didn't it? Like we needed to kind of encapsulate the styles.
Right. So CodeMirror theming is a kind of unique beast. It's not CSS. Like you have to write the themes in JavaScript with a specific syntax. And then they can like stack on top of each other, but CodeMirror actually like creates its own class names and everything to apply to the thing. So when you're inspecting the DOM, it looks wild. It's not even just mangled characters or anything like that. Like it's, you know, special glyphs and stuff that he's using for these themes.
It's sort of like weird unicorn characters and stuff, probably just to make it. To make it more specific
so it doesn't conflict with anything, and that's fine. But the main issue was it applies those themes in just like a style tag in the header. And Next.js really doesn't like anything that messes with the head of the document. And there were just times where Next would either complain about it or like it would completely just not even work. Like manipulating the head, the styles would just be gone or they just wouldn't work at all. Mm-hmm. And it took us a while to kind of figure out what was going on and then figure out that, oh, we can actually use web components in the shadow DOM to have CodeMirror inject those styles into the shadow DOM so that they're not.
Yeah, then React doesn't even care. It doesn't even know about it. Slash right. Next.js. It was just like, you know, it's a shadow DOM. We don't even do that. Just do whatever you want. And it totally solved the problem, right? Like that is kind of a nice way to go for us.
Right. And it keeps everything nice and isolated. In theory, you know, that helps with performance a little bit because the styles aren't global to the page. They're really isolated into that shadow DOM. And I think we got a few extra benefits off of it, but the main thing was just kind of encapsulating everything. So it's this one little component.
Yeah, pretty good. I don't know. It's happened twice in the last few weeks. There'll be some, because, you know, we're in this private beta phase now, and users will be like, you know, anything that's like priority number one around here is if an actual user has some issue with the new editor, we got to look into it immediately. And there's been a couple of CodeMirror things that came up. I think in both cases, they were like minor regressions in CodeMirror itself, which is kind of like, oh no, you know? And so there's CodeMirror.net, which is like, you know, it's better documentation than Vodico. It's like the whole reason the page exists is basically documentation for the project. But there's also like kind of old school forums, which is, you know, charming in a way. But there's also this like I think it's try.codemirror.net or something that is just this little kind of REPL basic thing that's just kind of like, then you can hit say it's like a little tiny code pen just for CodeMirror kind of that clearly is nice to have because then if you have a bug in CodeMirror, you can reproduce it in there and post it to the forums and then be like, look, you know, here's a 100% proof that something is wrong. And it's not because of Next.js. It's not because of React. It's not because of our setup. It's not because of something dumb we're doing. It's like, it's in your thing. So anyway, we've done that a couple of times, and it's like absolutely the golden ticket for getting help from the CodeMirror community and Margin himself of just being like, you know, in both cases, he's like, oh, look, regression, here you go.
Here's a fix. He's been very fast to respond the past few times that we've needed anything, and it's usually just a couple line change that he'll push out and tag a new version, and then we can pull it in and everything's fine.
Yeah, pretty good. You know how I can always tell it's CodeMirror 6 is because we kept the horizontal line through for wherever line your cursor is on, which is just, we didn't do that in CodeMirror 5, but it's so ubiquitous. Like every editor has it on by default and I'm like, all right, we're going to do this too. So it, you know, it's relatively chill. It kind of depends on what theme you're on, but I'm sure we integrated it in some smart way. But every time I see the horizontal line, I'm like, yep, that's the new
the
one.
The like active line highlight. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a nice
pretty good. Is there anything else you can think of that like will feel different to people?
It's hard to say. The themes are a little bit different. We matched up ones where we could, but you'll probably notice some slightly different styles in those ways.
Well, that's right. Yeah. If you had one that we didn't have, we like mapped you to one that is as close as we could find to it. For the most part, the most popular ones are there. And then CodePens, Claire, who used to work here now at GitHub, made themes that are very CodePenny that are the defaults, high contrast dark and high contrast light. Those are both in there. And there's a lot more than there used to be. So if you are like upset,
at least 10 new ones.
I think so. They're pretty good, and we have a lot of control over them. So if you see anything weird with a theme, that's pretty easy fix for us. And then what's our weirdest one? The synth wave.
Yeah.
Dude, that one is popping off. So I would highly recommend that. It has like this deep purple and pink thing going on and a lot of glowing, mm-hmm. like the keywords instead of just being a color, like have text shadow behind them and stuff. And then, of course, crucially, at the bottom of each editor is this 3D, like 80s Tron looking, you know, pattern in the back that goes out. It was just kind of for us to prove like, hey, we got a lot of control over this, even with the weird theming, even with the shadow DOM and everything. So anyway, I'd get synthwave going ASAP, you know.
Definitely recommend.
You know, they're also, we split, this will be new to the editor too, that just occurs to me, is that we have like light mode and dark mode proper in the editor instead of it we used to have this was weird because we're just weird people apparently. We'd have it, if you picked a light theme, like a light syntax highlighting theme, then we're like, oh, you probably want the rest of the site light too, like we tied it to your theme choice for some reason, which I don't think I've ever seen that anywhere else in the world, but that was just our weird choice at the time. Now they are very split up. Your syntax highlighting theme is totally independent. That's just what shows in the editor and that's it. And then we have site themes too, light and dark, and those are independently controlled. So if you, for some reason, and this has come up, wanted, you know, dark theme on the outside, light theme on the inside, go for it, you know.
We got it.
Can totally do that. Yeah, proper light theme. Oh my gosh, is that a lot of work too? I mean, I could probably be a whole podcast as well. It's just different. You know, people are like, oh, how do you do light theme? Oh, you just invert the colors and, you know, off to the races. I'm like, you know what? In a more sophisticated environment with like hundreds of colors potentially, you know, that really has to be fine-grained control. And so it's just kind of a first-class citizen of the new editor. What do you hit? Yeah. Command T
Command
or something?
Command I for invert.
Oh, yeah. Heck yeah, like Photoshop used to be.
Yeah.
That's the best. Command I in the new editor. I'll just flip it out for you. Pretty cool. Yeah, all right. So it was a big deal. I mean, this was a very worthy addition to our podcast topic lineup because, holy cow, was it a topic internally for us. And the fact that, you know, we barely touch it anymore. This is like, you know, complete work for us is feels very satisfying. It's just like, oh yeah, that's just the editor we use.
Yeah.
And it works great. Hopefully it works great for you too. Like I said, stay tuned. The public beta is imminent. So if you're listening to this and you have never seen this new editor of which we speak, of course you can always email support and we'll just get you in immediately. It's just like, just ask and it's fine. But if you just don't care to do so, everybody will have access before too long. It's not going to be forced upon you, though. You'll just get a chance to just try it before that. There's multiple stages before we do anything more drastic. All right. Any final thoughts, Stephen? Good work on all this.
Yeah. It's worth the effort to get into Codemirror 6. It's definitely a learning curve, but the capabilities of it, the flexibility of it, it's been worth getting into.
Yeah, it's worth the learning curve. All right. Cheers. See you next time.